evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington on this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Monday, April 24th, 2023. South Sudanese arriving from Sudan say they left thousands of their relatives living in terrible conditions.
There is no electricity, no water, no shop open, no internet, airtime, and no one was able to leave their house. There was no update on what is happening in Khartoum, and we don't even know when the fighting will stop.
And some residents of Khartoum share how they survived 2 weeks without food and electricity. We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Dozens of countries scramble to arrange transportation to get their citizens out of Sudan amid concerns that fighting could escalate and cut off exits from the country. The death toll has surpassed 400 people, with nearly 4,000 people reported injured. And UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said the situation is worsening and could engulf the entire region. The exodus of foreigners included a nighttime pull out of U.S. diplomats and other personnel Saturday, a week after the fighting erupted. The U.S. also closed the embassy in Khartoum. In a news conference today with the Kenyan Secretary of Foreign Affairs and Diaspora Affairs, Dr. Alfred Mutua, Blinken said Washington backs African-led efforts to end the fighting.
We strongly support African-led efforts to help both mediate this crisis, to end the hostilities, and as I said, get back on track to transition to a civilian-led government. We participated in, I think, an important meeting by video conference that was convened by the chairperson of the African Union, Mr. Faki, just at the end of last week, that included the Secretary General of the United Nations, that included virtually all of the stakeholders in Africa and beyond who have an interest in trying to help Sudan get back on track, and we continue to support those efforts. We all have the same goal. We're all driving to the same place. That is a ceasefire that's genuinely durable, that turns into a full cessation of hostilities between the competing forces, and that resumes the very important negotiations that were underway to create a transition to a civilian-led government.
In the United Nations Security Council today, Guterres said the UN is not pulling out of Sudan, but it has temporarily shifted some personnel and their families to other locations in the country or in the region. He said the repositioning will allow UN agencies to continue aiding civilians. Residents hunkered down with rapidly shrinking food and water supplies, along with power and communication outages. We now go to Khartoum for update with our reporter Michael Atit.
The latest update on the fighting today in Sudan, or particularly in Khartoum, is that there is a little bit of calm. There are no, you know, much actions of gunfire. But then there are reports and isolated attacks. One of them this morning at around 11:30 local time is that a plane jet came and, you know, and threw a bomb in one of the residential areas here near our house in El Kalakla, and killing at least two and injuring others. That is one of the latest incidents this morning that happened. And similar incident also happened in Omdurman. The both warring parties are exchanging accusations, you know, of carrying out this attack. We don't know the motives behind it, whether it was a mistake, because the area in Kalakla, there is no any military base which is close to that area. We don't know whether it was a mistake or a random airstrike. We don't know. But people are scared, people are panicked. And, you know, people started relocating from their homes, going to other areas, even though relocation is also, that is not the solution, because it seems everywhere in Khartoum is, you know, affected with the ongoing fighting. So that is the the latest today on the fighting between the warring parties in Sudan.
What is the humanitarian situation looking like right now?
The humanitarian situation is really horrible. Putting in mind that since the fighting began 10 days ago, up to today, there was no clear humanitarian passage for volunteers, for doctors, you know, to go and help out the situation within the downtown where the fighting is taking place. I mean, there are reports of still, you know, dead bodies within the tomb. It is still not safe for people to go and bury them. Food is becoming another problem. People are, you know, running out of food in their houses, even in the stock, in the market, in the shopping centers. There is no water running. There is no electricity connectivity. On top of that, the communication also became a problem. Since yesterday, we did not have communication. It is only today that one of the local networks, you know, has recovered service. But the service even is not that much strong. So the humanitarian situation is really growing to a disaster state.
There are reports of evacuation going on. Which countries have evacuated their nationals so far from Khartoum?
Several countries, several diplomatic missions have carried out evacuation process, including the US, the France, the Italian and Germany, India and other, you know, countries as well. The Indian embassy organized a trip for their nationals from Khartoum to Port Sudan this morning, and they arrived there, and you know, they're also doing some process for them to depart from Port Sudan to New Delhi or to their different destination. Several countries also done the same. On the South Sudanese situation, there is no clear plan from the South Sudan government up to this moment. Many South Sudanese are stranded. Many of them are taking buses on their own from here, from Khartoum, through Rabak, and they go to Rank. And there are reports also this road is not good, so some are taking, you know, other road that goes through Medeni, which is in Jazeera State. They go to Sinar State, and then from Sinar they go to Rabak, which is in the White Nile State. So they take that long road that take by bus something like 10 to 12 hours, and then from there they arrive to Rank. And from Rank, people are taking buses or other vehicles to Fallujah, where they are also possibly to get plane from there to Juba. So that is the situation. Many South Sudanese here in Khartoum are stranded. Many are questioning, asking any help from the embassy. There is no one to answer them. So they don't know what to do.
Is Khartoum International Airport functioning? If yes, are planes landing?
Khartoum International Airport is not functioning. It has been, for the past 10 days, it has been one of the battlefields. Even up to today, there are reports of shelling and bombing the airport, and there are also reports of a lot of damage there at the airport. Even if the airport is now safe for, you know, receiving plane, it will need at least a few days for reconstruction and maintenance, you know, for it to receive planes again. So the Khartoum International is not working as I speak.
What are the two groups fighting in the city saying about ceasefire?
The last statement on the ceasefire from both parties were the 72 hours of ceasefire that ended yesterday. And even though it was not even observed because of attacks, because of continued fighting in different parts of the country, and there is also reports of renewing fighting in Al Janina in West Darfur State this morning, where markets and everything has been burned down and all. So the warring parties are not saying anything about the ceasefire, and that is the only hope that the people have at the moment for them, you know, to stop fighting and cease hostilities, so that they're able, you know, at least to have an environment for dialogue or an environment for talks. But at this particular time, if the fighting continues, there is no way people can sit down to talk about whatever grievances they have. So the situation is just horrible as I speak, and many people are leaving the city. People are seeking safety in the States, and some are traveling outside through Haifa to Egypt, some are through Port Sudan, and some already fled from Darfur to Chad, and from east also from Kassala to Ethiopia or Eritrea, and then from the southern part to South Sudan. So this is the situation. The remaining people in the city are panicked. They don't know what to do. Some of them are stranded. They have nowhere to go, or they have no mobility, so they are just at risk of, you know, getting attacked anytime.
That's reporter Michael Atit speaking with me from Khartoum this past hour. The South Sudan government says it is providing support to hundreds of thousands of South Sudanese citizens who arrived in Juba on Saturday, spent 2 weeks in their homes in Khartoum due to the ongoing fighting in Sudan. One of the national who made it to Juba says he's worried about thousands of other South Sudanese nationals who are stranded without money and other basic necessities in Sudan. For VOA News, Dengai Deng has more from Bor.
The residents of the Sudanese capital Khartoum, including South Sudanese nationals and other foreigners, have been trapped and remained indoors for days after fighting erupted in the city more than a week ago. Atim Deng Jok, a South Sudanese national who arrived in Juba after fleeing the fighting in Khartoum, says he and other South Sudanese got a chance to leave Khartoum during a temporary three-hour pause in the fighting declared by the two warring parties last week.
A lot of people were actually faced by some difficulties. For example, we spent some days without water. And we also spent some days without electricity. All the shops and supermarkets were closed, so it was very difficult to get food and water. So we had to wait until the forces of the government and the forces of Hamati tried to agree on how to allow those who have been trapped in different areas to evacuate from where they have been trapped. So we were given some hours on the 21st, so we had to go to the park. So we had to board the bus together with those who were coming to Rebek. And from Rebek, we left Rebek and we came to Reng, which is South Sudan.
Deng says he is worried about thousands of other South Sudanese stranded without transportation and basic necessities in Khartoum.
There are so many South Sudanese, hundreds of South Sudanese who have gone to Khartoum for treatment. Some of them have just been removed from the hospital with some tubes, with other oxygen kind of machine. So those people, I don't think if they will really survive, because there's no money. And if the money is sent, there's no way you can get the money. Some people even left their money, which was sent to them in the banks. For example, some of those who were coming with me. So we had to share whatever little any of us was actually having, so that we evacuate ourselves.
Jong Thon Jok, another South Sudanese who was in Khartoum last week, says the situation is worrying. Thon urges the South Sudan's government to intervene and rescue South Sudanese who are trapped in Sudan's conflict.
The only way to rescue those that have been left trapped in Khartoum is for the South Sudan's government to convince Hamiti and Burhan to cease fire. That will give a chance for the evacuation of the people who have been trapped in their houses. Some people are completely without any money. Also, water and electricity are not there. I would like the government of South Sudan to really act fast rescue the life of its citizens, especially those left in hospitals in Khartoum without electricity and water. Many of these people are in a situation they might die.
Manasseh Lomele Waya is the chairperson of South Sudan Relief and Rehabilitation Commission. He says his office has plans for South Sudanese escaping the fighting in Khartoum.
We've got three lorries that are based in Rain. They will go to the crossing point at Joda and bring the people to Rain. We don't have enough money for fuel, but UNHCR has offered to give us some fuel to help facilitate transportation of this.
Waya says his office is engaging some humanitarian agencies, including the WFP, to provide assistance to South Sudanese nationals who are returning from Sudan. Last week, a consortium of eight agencies in South Sudan called on regional and international stakeholders to push for a cessation of hostilities and establish humanitarian corridors for areas affected as the conflict in Sudan enters its second week. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Bor.
Still on the conflict in Sudan, the commissioner of Rain County in South Sudan's Upper Nile State says thousands of South Sudanese fleeing the conflict in Sudan have arrived in his county over the past 3 days. Kak Padiek Kak says more than 100 foreigners, including Ugandans and Kenyans, are among those who escaped the fighting in Khartoum. For VOA News, Viola Elias has this report from Juba.
Commissioner Kak Padiek Kak says around 3,000 South Sudanese nationals and some foreigners who look visibly exhausted after covering a 553-kilometer road trip arrived in Rain County of Upper Nile State. Juliana Juan is one of the South Sudanese nationals who just escaped from Khartoum after witnessing heavy fighting in Khartoum. She told South Sudan in Focus that her journey from Khartoum to South Sudan was a nightmare. Juliana says she was in Khartoum to care for her sick auntie. She says she and her auntie were caught up in the fighting between Sudan Armed Forces and paramilitary rapid support forces.
There is no electricity, no water, no shop open, no internet, airtime, and no one was able to leave their house. There was no update on what is happening in Khartoum, and we don't even know when the fighting will stop. The sounds of gunshots and bombardments have even blocked our ears since that was what we keep on hearing. On Saturday, it started from 1 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Juliana says she decided to escape by road through Kosti to Rain. She says the journey was too long, expensive, and tiresome, adding that there are many South Sudanese who could not complete the journey from Khartoum to Rain.
If you don't have the money, you will not make it. When I left Khartoum, boarded the bus with $90, and when I reached Rabat, I paid almost 30,000. Then I paid another 30,000. I paid another 50 to come to Rank, and the worst part is from Rank to Palot. When you don't have 300,000 South Sudanese pounds or $300, you will not afford a car coming to college.
Rain County Commissioner Kak Padiek Kak says thousands of South Sudanese and some foreign nationals fleeing the fighting in Sudan arrived in Rain from Khartoum over the past few days.
Since yesterday and today, we have received a total number of 3,158. That is the number of South Sudanese who have reached Rank without counting the other foreign nationals. A total number of foreigners is 120, including Eritreans, Kenyans, and Somalis, among others.
Commissioner Kak says most of the South Sudanese and refugees are coming from various locations, and their number is likely to increase in the coming days. Kak is urging the national and the state authorities to provide the county administration with fuel to help relocate the returnees to their home areas. He says most of the refugees who made it through the long journey from Khartoum to Rain are in bad shape.
Women and children are the majority. There were few men only. They are tired, exhausted, and thirsty. I don't want to request either food or money or anything else, but I need fuel to transport these people, because if we transport them inside rank, they will find food to eat. We need fuel to be sent to Fawloch. We need like 20 or 30 barrels of fuel to be brought here, so that if we find any vehicle, it will be filled.
Fighting erupted between the Sudanese army and the Rapid Support Forces paramilitary on April 15, affecting thousands of foreigners, including diplomats and aid workers. According to media reports, several countries have evacuated their nationals. South Sudan acting foreign minister told this program last week that his office has no plan for evacuating South Sudanese nationals stranded in Khartoum. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, some women in South Sudan call on the government of South Sudan to rescue South Sudanese nationals stranded in Khartoum. That story is coming up right after the break.
If you are in Sudan witnessing events taking place there, or if you have family you are talking to there, you can call us on WhatsApp and let us know how things are going there. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. The number again, the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202-630-8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. The Women Bloc of South Sudan, a group of women activists who signed the revitalized peace agreement, say it is they are alarmed and concerned about the suffering of Sudanese civilians trapped in the ongoing fighting in Khartoum and other cities across Sudan. The group is calling on the South Sudan government and the international community to pressure the warring parties in Sudan to adhere to a ceasefire. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba.
The South Sudan Women Bloc have joined many people across the world who are calling for an end to the fighting in Sudan. Amir Manyok, chairperson of the South Sudan Women Bloc, says some South Sudanese women are alarmed by the ongoing conflict in Sudan, which continues to endanger lives of civilians in Sudan.
We call upon the warring parties to hold the cessation of hostilities and also sit down on the dialogue, to sit on the table and listen to IGAD and listen to African Union and themselves also, because what they have done is enough and it is too big. So there is a need for them to honor the call for a dialogue.
The Intergovernmental Authority on Development has appointed the president of Kenya, Djibouti and South Sudan to travel to Kenya and help the warring parties to settle their differences through a dialogue once the parties sign a ceasefire agreement. Manyok says some women in South Sudan are concerned about the conflict in Sudan because the two countries rely on each other. She says Sudan is a lifeline for South Sudan, adding that instability in Sudan affects the people of South Sudan.
We have experienced the war and we have experienced the destruction, and also the destruction that can affect Sudan can also affect us directly. South Sudan rely on the oil revenues, and that is our oil is flowing on that line. And secondly, also, we are also relying on food commodities that also are coming from Sudan. And majority of our people also go there for treatment and many things that we also share with Sudan. So if there is any big problem in Sudan, also is another problem also in South Sudan.
South Sudan shares a long border with Sudan. Most of South Sudan's northern states, including northern Bahr el-Ghazal, Unity and Upper Nile states, rely on commodities from Sudan. The women activists say These areas will experience food shortages if the war in Sudan rages on. Deng Dao, South Sudan Acting Foreign Affairs Minister, says the South Sudan government is actively involved in trying to resolve the conflict in Sudan. He says President Kiir is constantly engaging Sudanese warring parties to stop fighting.
We are still on the line of IGAD. His Excellency the President is still pursuing the line of IGAD and calling for ceasefire or cessation of hostilities, and we must acknowledge that the cessation of hostilities that was there had a lot of work that His Excellency the President have done. It is still continuing with the parties for them to be able to cease fire and to stop and to return to the table of negotiation.
Dao says the South Sudanese embassy in Khartoum will continue to operate as the country is tasked with the mediation between the warring parties. The women activists say time is running out for Sudanese civilians trapped in the fighting.
We don't need them to continue suffering because days without eating food, days without drinking water, days without nice shelter, and people are flowing in a very big way. I think the emergency response needs urgently.
Fighting broke out in Khartoum last week between the Sudan Armed Forces led by General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, who is the head of the Sudan Sovereign Council, and General Mohamed Abdan Daglo, leader of the paramilitary group Rapid Support Forces. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayer in Juba.
And that report by Manyang from Juba marks the end of our show for this Monday. I'm your host, John Tanza, in Washington on this live broadcast from Studio 14.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
April 22nd is Earth Day, an opportunity to celebrate nature, reflect on the impact humans have on our environment, and to reaffirm our support for environmental protection. The observance has its roots in the public outrage at the gross environmental degradation perpetrated around the country and the lack of political will to do anything about it. Then U.S. Senator and environmental activist Gaylord Nelson concluded that nothing would be done until enough people made a public show of their outrage. So he organized the first Earth Day on April 22, 1970. It's been an important moment for our country to take stock and to do more to actually conserve the environment, said Monica Medina, Assistant Secretary of State for Oceans and International Environmental and Scientific Affairs.
Earth Day is an important moment for all of us to stop and think about how important the environment is to the quality of life, to our economies, and to our human health. This year's theme is Invest in Our Planet, which couldn't be more important. The United States is working very hard to increase its investments in things like parks and protected areas, water quality and conservation, all sorts of ways that are going to improve the quality of life, changing our energy infrastructure and all of our energy goals to be much more renewable. All of that will lead to many, many benefits for quality of life.
All of that will lead to many, many benefits for quality of life, but also improve jobs and the economy, said Assistant Secretary Medina, who also serves as the special envoy for biodiversity and water resources. New protected areas, both on land and in the ocean, are key ways that the government is making progress on conserving our planet and our environment.
We're investing in green infrastructure to make our coastlines and our country much more resilient to climate change and to extreme weather events. And all the money that we're spending in the infrastructure bill to improve our infrastructure in ways that will be much more environmentally beneficial. And we're changing our energy infrastructure in order to be much more dependent on renewable energy that's clean and green.
On Earth Day, let us remember that our environment largely determines the quality of our existence. If we don't have a clean and healthy environment, said Assistant Secretary Medina, we really can't sustain ourselves and live the kind of quality of life that we'd like to have.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.